This episode brought to you by Equity Multiple. Are you looking to elevate your portfolio? Equity Multiple can help. Invest in exclusive commercial real estate starting with just $5,000. Sign up at equitymultiple.com/boost and earn an enhanced return on your first investment.
Here's your money briefing for Thursday, April 14th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. The job market is hot. Millions of people are quitting their jobs in search of a better situation and usually more money. But whether you plan to leave your job or not, the key to landing a higher salary might come down to knowing how and when to ask for it.
Money goes to those who ask, not to those who wait. If you think that waiting in line for your annual increase is the way you're going to get ahead, you are incorrect on all fronts.
On today's show, we hear from Tessa White, a career coach of 20 years, on how you can effectively negotiate for a raise and more. That's after the break.
More than 60% of B2B invoices are not paid on time. HighRadius AR automation solution minimizes bad debts, reduces DSO, and gets invoices paid faster. More than 700 of the world's leading companies have transformed the office of their CFO with HighRadius. To supercharge your receivable processes, visit us at www.highradius.com. That's www.highradius.com.
Best time to ask for better pay? Maybe right now. There are far more open jobs and employees available to fill them, and companies are ramping up salaries to bring people on board and keep them. But a higher salary won't just land in your lap. You have to know how and when to ask for it. At the recent Wall Street Journal Jobs Summit, Tessa White, founder of The Job Doctor and a veteran career coach, spoke with our Work and Life columnist Rachel Feinzig about how to ask for more money, both as a job candidate and as a longtime employee. Here are some highlights from their conversation, starting with Rachel.
How do you prepare for a conversation like this? Let's start with, I'm getting a new job. What should I have on hand? How do I prepare for this?
Understand that asking for a job is a lot like selling something. So you're the product and you're selling something. And if you hold true to principles, you would always wait. This sounds very counterintuitive, but you wait to ask about pay to get the highest pay. So you try to avoid a specific conversation about pay. You need to verify the range so that you don't waste time. But holding until the end is really important for three reasons. Because if you wait till the end, you have leverage. Leverage because they're already invested in you as a final candidate and they don't want to start over. There's already buy-in on the team that they want you. And they just simply have already fallen in love with you. You want to wait till they just love you before you ask for things, because the more they love you, the more likely they are to make concessions. If you ask, like you're dating, if you ask to get married on the first date, your likelihood of getting that ring is zero. And the same is true with pay negotiation. You just need to wait to bring it up till the right time.
Tell me, what's on the table now? What can you negotiate?
Well, you can negotiate about anything nowadays. Most people think they can only negotiate, or they only try to negotiate, their base pay. And while base pay is really important and a big part of your compensation, there's about 12 things you can negotiate in an offer. So let's kind of walk through what those would be. You can't ask for all of them, obviously. That would not be good. But think about what's important to you, and it's for every person. Flexibility on work hours is really important to some. Remote work schedule. Some people, that's an absolute must-have. You can negotiate not only your base pay, but when you get your next raise. Or if you can't quite get the salary you want, you can negotiate to get it in two pieces. You can negotiate your bonus percentage, because most companies have a wiggle room around bonus percentage, especially the higher you go in your job title. You can negotiate equity, stock options. You can negotiate cell phone stipends. And today, in today's world, you can negotiate an office stipend as well to help you get a home office and all the things that you need. You can also negotiate if the company is going to pay for continued education. And for some people who are still trying to build a really robust resume, that's a great thing to negotiate. Is a company paying for continued education or certifications to make you look better? And it benefits the company. You can negotiate vacation time. And in fact, you should always negotiate your vacation time before you go in, because if you've got a 2-week vacation, it's hard to get it after the fact. It's a simple thing to get before. You can negotiate titles. Titles are free to companies. So that could be worth $10,000 to $15,000 in your next job. And you can negotiate severance. Something nobody thinks about is what happens if in today's environment, the company goes out of business or the company is acquired or merges with another company. Asking for severance ahead of time is an easy ask now and a very difficult ask if something happens to where the company consolidates.
As a current employee, how can I ask the company for an increase in pay and title? I'm assuming some of the stuff we've been talking about are applicable, but is there anything to add there? How do you even broach that conversation? It's so natural when you're interviewing for a new job, but can be so awkward when you're just, you know, like talking to your boss about last week's project. How do you approach this?
I think it's going to take some homework on your end, first of all. You have to understand leverage, and a lot of people don't. So let me give you just the really super fast lesson on leverage. There's good leverage and bad leverage. Good leverage says, I have what you need, and it's like a carrot. I can give you something you need. And bad leverage is more like a stick, and it's something bad's going to happen if I don't get this. And you have to understand where you have leverage. So let's talk about if three people leave your team and you're left with only one expert, that's leverage. It's bad leverage. It's like, if I don't get the raise, you know, the company's going to be in trouble, but it is leverage nonetheless. But the greatest leverage you have is always going to be results. So think about these things as you put your argument together. The script that I would use is something like this. I would say, I came into the company and I feel like I've been able to get you some really great demonstrable results. I've gotten 60% of the tier one press coverage over the last 6 months. I've also been able to secure three new clients that are bringing in $2 million in revenue for our marketing team. I also have done some research and I realized that I was brought in lower than my coworker. And yet I have been able to get demonstrable results much higher. It leaves me with a bad taste in my mouth and makes me not feel as good about working here. And I feel like the results that I've been giving you demonstrate that I'm worth being paid fairly for the work that I'm doing. I'd like to talk to you about what is my path to move and grow. And I'd also like to talk to you about my pay and see if we can get to a point that it feels like I am getting paid a wage that feels commensurate with what I'm bringing to the company. Can we talk about that? So it's not a wah, wah kind of conversation that you want to have. And you never want to say, do this or else. You won't get what you want if you have taken or else position. But when you say, I'm aware of something that doesn't feel good, here's why it doesn't feel good, and here's the disconnect, I think you can have a pretty solid conversation about pay without coming across as demanding something or an or else position.
What if there is tension? Are there things you can say, little phrases that might diffuse tension with a boss if they bristle at a request like that?
I think my best advice for that is that, yes, there are some words you can use. First of all, let's talk about principles, though. The principle is you have to give an argument to your boss that passes with their boss. So you need to think about what would pass with their boss, because a manager's in this really awkward position. Job number one for a manager is to be able to manage and get results with the budget they have. So if they have to go outside that budget, it's going to be very difficult for them. So you need to help them with an argument. The other thing is there are certain phrases that people use that help them, and it helps to create understanding. And the three magic phrases are, is that what you intended? Do you see it differently? Or is there something I don't understand about this? Help me understand. When you say that to a manager, let's say you're talking about a pay disparity that you can see that doesn't feel right to you. When you say, this is the gap that I see, and it doesn't feel good, is there something I don't understand? Or is that what you intended? It allows the other person to suddenly give their point of view on something, and it keeps the conversation open. But when you don't use words like that, or you use words that put you on opposite sides of the fence, like assuming bad intent as if they did this on purpose, you immediately shut it down. The minute a manager is going to feel backed into a corner, I don't think you're going to get what you want. So keeping it open is important.
Do you have to have another job offer in hand? Should you have another job offer in hand?
That is actually such a great question. There's a couple of things you can do. First is, know, here's what I know. I get to see who gets raises and why they get raises. And 80% of the raises given in your company that are significant, that are over 2%, are given out of cycle. So know that, first of all. That's one of my career commandments, is that money goes to those who ask, not to those who wait. If you think that waiting in line for your annual increase is the way you're going to get ahead, you are incorrect on all fronts. That is not how you will get ahead. So you can make a mid-year increase request, spend some time putting together a really solid value proposition. Ask at the right time after you've just accomplished something amazing.
Going to ask about the timing. Is it right after a big project? Or I've also heard the advice, do it like exactly off cycle, because otherwise they'll just roll it into your, you know, when everyone else is getting raises. How do you think about the timing?
the timing, I would always pair it with when I've done something great. When you've done something demonstrable and you've gotten a great outcome. Most managers have a little slush fund, and managers are probably yelling at me right now because there's some that don't, but many have a little slush fund that they can work with. And so out of cycle is good, making the argument of where the manager can find the money to give you the raise is the other part. I had a client who came to me and said, I want a $16,000 raise. And she said, I think I can get it. I'm a senior consultant in this company. I see the budgets. I think I can get it. She went to ask her manager and the manager said, guess what? You were the last one to get a raise. And I've had three of the other team members ask her a raise. Really common scenario right now. Everybody wants a raise. And so how can I give you a raise? Well, what she employed was, if then, she said, I'll tell you what, why don't we save some of that? I want 16,000 raise, but let's wait for 6 months. So that'll save us some money in the budget. We'll give the first part of the increase in 6 months. And then I think we can save money here, here, and here on the budget that would pay for my raise. Let me see if I can save that money and we could get the remaining $8,000 when I save that money. She ended up that her team members got the raise and she ended up getting the raise because she created an argument that her manager could get around. It was a zero-sum game, no more money in the budget. She figured out how to save the money in the budget and she was willing to take a delayed raise, a promise of a future raise and get it in writing. She ended up with what she wanted. There's three ways you get big raises in companies. Out of cycle, getting a competitive offer is one of them. Leaving the company. So if you go look for another offer, you can use that as leverage. It works wonders to use as leverage. But most people, once they put the energy into looking for an offer, get ticked off and end up getting wooed by another company and they don't stay. So know that if you're going to use that approach, it's very, very effective, but you may find yourself finding something that you really love and leaving anyway.
Tessa, this has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.